Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I say it to Him over and over, 'Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost, work Your will in me.'" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on the subject of prayer. Why should we pray? And I ran out of time yesterday talking about three reasons why we prayed. I managed to get through one of them. I mentioned the other two, and I'd like to elaborate on them a little bit more and give you three more reasons. The first reason was it is as natural as swimming. It's a human characteristic. I read someplace that all babies are born with the ability to swim. It's just that we lose it. The second reason that I gave is that Jesus prayed. If Jesus needed to pray, who do I think I am to claim that I don't need to pray? Well, I don't think I have ever claimed that. And yet, if you were to examine my life, you would probably find out that I don't do very much praying, not really, not by comparison with my Master Jesus, who we read in Scripture spent whole nights alone in prayer. Jesus recognized the need of communication with His Father, communion. Have I learned to cling to His power, not only when the house is on fire, but even in the little things, to make everything a matter of prayer? Well, I'm trying to learn that, and I read just the other day that George Mueller had given a talk on prayer many, many years ago and suggested that if, for example, a parcel comes in the mail and you cannot untie the knot and you have nothing with which to cut it, you ask the Lord to help you untie the knot. Would you pray about a thing so small? Well, there's a certain kind of pride and arrogance in refusing to pray about things like that. Oh, well, I don't want to bother Almighty God, who's in charge of the universe, with such a ridiculous triviality as untying a knot, we say. And yet, I have a sneaking suspicion that Jesus talked about everything to His Father. And He says, "Follow me." It was His Father that He talked to. It's my Father. It's our Father. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, "Our Father." The third reason is that it works. In James, the 5th chapter, verses 16 to 18, we read, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, and then you will be healed. A good man's prayer is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man with human frailties like our own. And when he prayed earnestly that there should be no rain, not a drop fell on the land for 3 years and a half. Then he prayed again, and down came the rain, and the land bore crops once more." Remember that Elijah was a man with frailties like our own. In Hebrews 5:7-9, we read, "In the days of his earthly life," speaking of Jesus, "he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to God, who was able to deliver him from the grave. Because of his humble submission, his prayer was heard. Son though he was, he learned obedience in the school of suffering, and once perfected, became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." We're talking about Jesus Christ. Son though he was, he learned obedience in the school of suffering. His prayer was heard, we read. Now, when I say that prayer works, I'm not saying that it's some kind of magic. Prayer is a mystery. And I'm sure that there are many out there thinking right away, "Well, I just prayed for such and such, and it didn't work. I didn't get it." So we need to think about some of the reasons why God says no. Again, Satan comes to us with all manner of objections when he sees that we are determined to pray. He says it doesn't work anyway. It doesn't do any good. God has already ordained what he's going to do, so it doesn't make any difference whether you pray or not. I'm really no good at it. Is that a reason not to pray? I'm not feeling religious right now, so it would be hypocritical to pray. When it comes right down to it, I don't really know how to pray. I can't concentrate. Well, let's go on to reason number 4. Jesus taught us to pray. Not only did Jesus set us the example, but by word he also taught us to pray. He said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven.'" That's a command. If we're children of God, we need to establish a constant relationship with the Father, a relationship of trust and love. I remember how much I trusted and loved my father. And sometimes I would go to my mother asking her if she could help me with something, for example, arithmetic. And my mother was not very good at arithmetic. Neither am I. And she would say, "When Daddy gets home, ask Daddy." I went to him because I needed help. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. Ask your father. Ask Daddy. You know, that Aramaic word, Abba, means Daddy. It's like a little child's word for father. It's the word that Jesus used occasionally when he spoke to his father. He was dependent on his father. And so, as we pray, we are acknowledging our dependence as Jesus did. The 5th reason why we should pray, it's our lifeline. In John 15, 6 to 11, we read, "The man who does not share my life is like a branch that is broken off and withers away. He becomes just like the dry sticks that men collect and use for firewood. But if you live your life in me, and my words live in your hearts, you can ask for whatever you like, and it will come true for you. This is how my Father will be glorified, in your becoming fruitful and being my disciples. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. You must go on living in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. I have told you this so that you can share my joy and that your joy may be complete." Obedience leads always to joy. It is our lifeline. If we want to share his life, then we must do what he says. And one of the things that he says to do is to pray. We can't do anything without him. A good friend of mine told me this story about a little boy that she knows. The parents were having a very great Christian come for dinner. I don't remember whether he was a missionary or a minister, but somebody that they thought of as a spiritual giant. And so they told the children ahead of time to think of something that they could ask this person to pray for them. And so the 10-year-old boy said, "I'm going to ask him to pray that I'll get a new skateboard." Well, his father said, "Son, maybe you better think about that a little bit more. Don't you think you could think of something more important than a skateboard?" And so the poor little boy sat down and pondered it for a while, and he came back and he said, "Well, Dad, I guess I'm supposed to ask for a closer walk with God." Now, you know, I love that story because the skateboard was the honest prayer of that little boy. When he came back with the idea that he would ask for a closer walk with God, he was only parroting what he thought he was supposed to say in order to sound spiritual. I think the father was mistaken to suggest that the little boy change his request. The scripture tells us to make our requests known to God. If you live in me and my words live in you, you can ask what you will, and it will be done. Now, there's a simplicity, an oversimplification here, I think, in several scriptures. I know that I'm treading on very thin ice when I talk about these. The one in the book of James that says that the prayer of faith will save the sick And then this one that says you can ask anything you want to, and it will be done. We're going to get to those later, but I want you to know that I'm not evading that question. The Father is glorified in our bearing fruit. The Father loves the Son loves us, and we must communicate as any lover communicates with the one he loves. The proof of our love, according to the passage that I read you from John 15, is obedience, and the result is joy. In the simplest things connected with our daily life and walk, we should give ourselves to prayer, and we shall have the living, loving Lord Jesus to help us. Even in the most trifling matters, I give myself to prayer, wrote George Mueller, even before I leave my room. Sometimes I have two or three answers on the way. And so it happened this morning as Lars and I were praying. I mentioned to him that I had lost a ring that the producer of this program, Jan Anderson, had given me. Well, I thought I had looked every possible place where that ring could be, and Jan was coming in a few days, and I thought, what am I going to do if she wonders what happened to the ring? And so I said, Lars, we need to pray about that ring. We prayed about it together, and while he was praying, a picture came into my mind immediately. Look in the corner of the blue suitcase. I looked in the corner of the blue suitcase. There was the ring. And so it works when we get what we ask for. But what about the other times? We will talk about those in our next talk.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.